to the Friday edition of Daily Tap, January 26th. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowTapWI. Subscribe to us on iTunes as well as Google Play. Gotta love starting a podcast. I'm like ready to go. I'm writing some notes out and I feel congested. I have not felt sick all winter, and all of a sudden I just get congested, which is the best thing for a voice. So if I sound a little nasally, I apologize, but that's the show must go on, especially on a very exciting Friday. So Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain are both members of the Milwaukee Brewers. Yes, that actually happened. A winter of discontent, if you will, for baseball fans, where nothing really happened, all of a sudden, out of the blue, late evening on Thursday, Yelich and Cain are now Brewers, and the Brewers have now planted their flag in being contenders. They are, according to Bob Nightingale, looking for a starting pitcher and dealing Domingo Santana as well as Brett Phillips, and that is on the radar right now. So a lot is happening. A lot is going on. I don't know. This goes up at 8:30. We could already have a trade in the works. Who knows? There is, and yeah, so it is a wild time. And, you know, the thing with Christian Yelich, and this is a little behind the scenes, but I had a source close to me tell me that this was basically going to happen. Just someone I had known reach out, kind of told me like, hey, this could go down. And I kind of followed up with him kind of throughout the day. And like I said, I said this on Twitter yesterday, I'm not really a breaking news type, but he shared some pretty like legit concrete information that Yelich was going to be here and Yelich was going to get traded. And I almost beat Ken Rosenthal. I was ready. I just needed for him, you know, I learned my lesson. I was a journalism student, but I wasn't in the breaking news in the Twitter generation. I just wanted to make sure that everything sound, you know, it was just a tough call, and I was really close to breaking that story. And I don't know if I would have got credit. Baseball writers are pretty good about that. I will say that. Some people are giving a guy Feared a Beer some credit today. I forget who it was, but like, baseball guys are actually really good about credit, so I may have got some, and like, yeah, that's a cool glow-up, as the kids say, but I mean, it really wouldn't have meant much. I mean, like I said, I don't do insider baseball stuff. I did get a little bit of the Brinson, you know, that Brinson was a part of the trade, and that was a little bit of a breaking news. I got that right along with John Heyman and a few others, but it's crazy. I mean, it is crazy how quick it is. I was so close, guys. I hope, you know, it's like, you could believe me, you could not. I don't think that I would lie to you. As a local radio station says, I try to keep it 100 here. Yeah, I'm not bullshitting. It was really close, and it almost happened, and we'll get the next one. We learned from this mistake, and I wouldn't even say it was a mistake, and we'll just go on. So yeah, let's start with Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich is a Milwaukee Brewer. He is a talented center fielder, 26 years old, 5 years of control, and the Brewers gave up a ton for him. Now, when I say they gave up a ton for him, it doesn't mean that I am bummed out that they gave a ton for him. It's just they did. I mean, they gave up four top prospects. That's fine. That is absolutely okay. People need to understand that this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Now, is Christian Yelich going to win an MVP? Probably not. Is Christian Yelich going to be one of the best players on the Brewers next year? Absolutely. Christian Yelich is a 5-tool player the Brewers can have control over the next 4-5 years and come at a low salary. They had to do this deal. This guy, also very durable. He's not missed many games the last 2 years. He does everything. He hits for power. He has a great on base percentage. He had a 369 on base percentage and a 282 average. Guy actually walks. That's a refreshing thing that we do not see very often. He steals somewhere around 10 to 20 bases. His wins above replacement was 4.5 the last 2 years. I mean, he has some silly stats when you take a look at it. And Yelich Yelich really, really has done well. He did win a Gold Glove in 2014 in left field. He's a great player. And the two seasons in the top 10 in doubles, I mean, the two seasons top 10 in walks, two top 10s in runs scored. I mean, he fills up a stat sheet. He's not a guy who's going to necessarily hit three home runs, but he's gonna do so many other little things that doesn't matter. I mean, there should be so much excitement for this kid because and there may be some people who don't really know how good he is. He is that damn good. He is a very good baseball player. He is a guy that every team in the NL would want. And you know, the asking price was too high, apparently, and only the Blue Jays and the Brewers could come close, and the Brewers had, obviously, all the prospects. And this is exactly the reason you load up on prospects. Remember, if you got, you don't even follow, so none of you really care, but I had a debate about this last year on Twitter about, yes, you have all these parts, you don't need more prospects, now you need to start making some moves, and maybe I'll fish that out. But basically, this is the whole point. This is the whole reason. You know, Houston, when Houston made the deal to go get Mike Fiers and Carlos Gomez, granted, it was a bad one. It didn't work out the way they wanted to. But the reason Houston could make that deal is because they had stockpiled prospects. You look at the Brewers' prospect list now, it's not as good as it was 4 o'clock today, but it's pretty good still. Christian Herrera, good player. Mauricio Dubon, good player. They have a load of outfielders that are worth being good players. We're not going to see Brinson, Diaz, these guys in the big leagues, you know, really develop, really shine. And for 2 years, it's going to be a while. And so I don't think the pain of this really should be one that Brewers fans see. The only Brewers fans that think that they played too much for this are the fickle ones who think that the Brewers are always going to break their heart. You do have to understand, even if Yelich doesn't perform this year, he has 4 years left to control. There's still so much. And now going into Lorenzo Cain, they have a beautifully defensed outfield. They have upgraded their defense threefold. Lorenzo Cain signs as a Milwaukee Brewer. That is, I don't think, a surprise. I think the Brewers had been kind of looking at him at start of early January, and it finally came together. A lot of debating. It kind of went hot. It kind of went cold. The Brewers gave him the money that he was looking for, 5 years, $80 million. That's a pretty good bargain for what you're getting. I think that is a fair deal, a market value deal, because I don't think it's an overpay. 6 years would have been way too much. 4 years, I don't think Cain takes it. I think Cain was getting 4 years. Years from the Cubs, the Giants, a few other teams that were in hot pursuit of him. And to know that those top contenders were in the midst of the Cain sweepstakes, if you will, should make you feel good as a Brewer fan. It should make you feel like, A, you're competing with the big boys, B, that you're getting a guy that the big boys want and know that he could be a key piece to a championship run. Lorenzo Cain isn't a guy who's going to wow you with a ton of stats. Like, there's nothing he does where you're like, whoa, he is a supreme power hitter. He's a supreme doubles hitter. The guy just makes contact in a lot of ways, like Yelich. He makes contact, gets bats on balls. And I think what the Brewers were missing last year are these type of guys, especially at a high level, because they were so home run dependent where they were getting bailed out by one big inning that had a three-run homer or it had two-run homers. And instead, they never really put together these innings where they scored five or six runs. Guys like Cain and Yelich leading off and hitting second, you can debate all day who's going to do what. Those guys are going to set the table for the power hitters. And guess what? Yelich and Cain can score a bunch of runs by themselves. You're telling me that if Yelich is leading off, he can't have a single, stolen base, Lorenzo Cain knocks him in with a single. And then, oh yeah, maybe Lorenzo Cain steals. You think about how exciting this gets. And yes, Lorenzo Cain is a little older, but the fact of the matter is he's not as speed dependent as people wanted to make it out to be. There's going to be a lot of people who have some hate in their heart about Lorenzo Cain is all speed. He's going to flame out just like Jacoby Ellsbury, just like other guys. That's not going to happen. He's way more than a speed guy. He actually wasn't even using his legs that much last year. So if you actually dig into it a little bit, you'll see that this guy is all around a very good player. and a guy who's going to add to this team in many ways than just one. So we'll see what happens with the logjam in the outfield. Now, Jerry Krasnick and Bob Nightingale, I think both were reporting the fact the Brewers were going after a starting pitcher with Endaglin, Santana, and Phillips out there. I know that a lot of the casual fans would be very sad to see Phillips go. He's kind of become a lightning rod. I would have argued that the Brewers would look good with the four outfielder combination of Ryan Braun, Yelich, Kane, and then Phillips being the fourth outfielder. I thought that could really work for this team. Maybe Phillips was, as I already said, you know what, I wanted to be a starter. I wanted to compete for a starting position. And now that I don't have that opportunity, I would prefer to just be mentioned in a trade. If you're going to trade somebody, why don't you just include me into it? Now, I think the Brewers still want Chris Archer. Apparently, they offered a package with Brinson involved for Archer, and they didn't get it. And that's fine. Now, the other deal that is kind of out there, and it hasn't really come together. It's more, I think, the fans have put it together, and there's no real source on this, but to have Jason Kipnis and Danny Salazar come over from the Indians for Santana and maybe Phillips as well. And I love that deal. I think Kipnis is the kind of guy, and once again, that actually is a legitimate leadoff hitter, a guy. And then you are like, well, what do you even do? That becomes a scary, scary good offense. And Danny Salazar is not an ace, but he's a guy who can strike out a lot of batters. He's a little bit of a head case. There's a little bit of things to worry about, but other than that, like, this guy's a stud, and he can strike out 10 batters a game. Not a game, that's a little ridiculous, but that's deal's been thrown out there. I love that idea. We'll see if something like that comes together. I have a feeling we're going to get another deal before On Deck. I don't know if it's going to happen today, like I said at the beginning, or if it's going to happen somewhere else in the process. So look forward to that. I'm sure we'll talk a little more Brewers. It's exciting. I think the casual fan, I'm always excited about the Brewers, but I think that now everybody's excited about the Brewers, and there's going to be a lot of excitement, especially early on. And people know that their ownership and the GM are investing in this team. The rebuild is officially over, and you should just be thrilled with what they've done, because once again, Stearns did it, and you trust in Stearns. Okay, moving on to other topics at hand. We went long on both of those, but we have to give out our fake tough guy of the week. Now, if you did not listen to last Friday's podcast, go back and listen. Basically, how it started was kind of on a whim, because there were all these NBA fights, and Michael Carter Williams tried to fight somebody, and I was like, well, who the fuck are you, MCW? And I called him a fake tough guy, and then I'm like, you know what? He's going to get fake tough guy of the week. So with something we're going to kind of keep going, I will always take submissions. StoneTapWI. You can tweet me. You can shoot me a message on Facebook. Can Instagram me if you want. But I am giving the fake tough guy of the week award to the Vikings fans. So Vikings fans have been in the news all week because they're attempting to try to screw up Philly's experience at the Super Bowl. They're canceling reservations at Airbnbs. They're threatening to be Uber drivers to take them to wrong locations. They have a thing set up where they'll throw beer at them to pay them back, because apparently the Philadelphia fan base struck such a nerve with Vikings fans that the only way they know to retaliate is to go lower and just do different shit. I gotta be honest, you're hosting a Super Bowl, have some fucking respect for your city and show these people a good time. Yes, they kicked your ass, but guess what? It happens. It's football. And you know what? Did they throw some beer at you? Did they taunt you? Yes, that is Philadelphia, though. I don't think I'd wear a Packers shirt inside Lincoln Financial. I would wear neutral colors. I'd cheer for my team. They are some of the most aggressive fans in sports. It was a 5:30 start on a Sunday. They were all pissed drunk. You shouldn't do this. This is dumb by Minnesota. It's so petty. It's so childish. It's very Vikings fans-like. It's classic how they get. They get all sorts of sensitive. They are like, oh, I can't take this. We can't take this. Whatever. We're going to start canceling Airbnbs. We're going to start doing all this shit. So fucking stupid, guys. Just relax. It's not that big of a deal. So congrats on the Fake Tough Guy Award. Honorable mention to Jonathan Lucroy, who keeps tweeting out workout videos like he's fucking JJ Watt. Settle down, bud. I get the bald hair. I get the beard. Just relax. Take it easy. And also another just honorable fake tough guy is Jimmy Nelson, who has me blocked on Twitter for God knows what reason. But that's another story for another time. Because he had a funny tweet today and I didn't know what it was about. And I felt so left out. And yeah, well, that's it. So we'll keep an eye on the slate for this weekend. Good slate. I wouldn't say it's a great slate. It's a good slate. You got the Nets and Bucks tonight. There is maybe a chance Jabari Parker plays. Remember we talked about that Daily Tap yesterday? About, oh, how big of a troll move it would be if Jabari Parker played. After all the attention shifted to the Brewers, the Bucks tweeted out an emoji with a shush face and a picture of Jabari. And everybody was like, whoa, wait a second here. I think actually Jabari's coming back on Monday. I'm going to put that in the books. I don't think he comes back tomorrow. I think tonight. I don't think that's going to happen. Also, tonight, Wisconsin plays Michigan State. The Badgers are a 16-point underdog. Sheesh. So then also in the state, going back to college basketball for the weekend, big matchup is Virginia versus Duke at 1 o'clock on CBS. Should be quite the showdown. Virginia's been suffocating on defense. We'll be interested to see how they play, how Tony Bennett does against Marvin Bailey, how that boxing one does. Duke's not been known that much for their defense. This could be a very signature win for Virginia, as well as potentially get to number one if my Marquette Golden Eagles knock off Villanova. Marquette did not play well on Wednesday night. They kind of had to pick themselves up. Now they get the Villanova Wildcats at the BC, 12 o'clock. Students are back. Hopefully it's going to be a raucous crowd. I will be DVRing that or watching at a bar before we go down to the Bulls-Bucks game. So yes, Snow Tap on the road in Chicago on Sunday. We'll probably be hanging out a lot on Instagram. I think, I don't know how much Instagram I'm going to do, but I'm definitely going to do enough where you guys get the idea of what's going on. So definitely follow us. Definitely be on our page. It'll be on the Instagram story. So looking forward to that. Hopefully getting my first Bucks win of the year. 0-5 this year at Bucks games. This will be my first road trip Bucks game I've ever witnessed. So that'll be a first for me. Pop my cherry there. Also in the NBA, worth mentioning is the Celtics and the Warriors. That is Saturday night. If you aren't doing much, definitely just that is a worthwhile game to keep on. Finishing up in, and I know we're just all over the place in this What to Watch. I apologize. I should be better, but you know, it's just one of those things. It's been all over the podcast in most regards. Oklahoma, Alabama, Kentucky, West Virginia, part of that Big 12 SEC challenge. Is Colin Sexton playing? I don't even know. I keep up with college basketball to a point. I don't keep it up to know if Colin Sexton's playing. I know he was bothered by a knee injury. It'd be great to see Sexton versus Trae Young. Kentucky might miss the tournament, and they definitely need to continue to play well. And then you have also golf, which could feature Tiger Woods. He is going to be gunning for the cut. He's right underneath the cut right now. We'll see if Tiger can make it. There are still some great guys that are around the top of the leaderboard, like Ricky Fowler, John Rahm, Tony Finau. I mean, there's all sorts of guys. So nothing to real fear. If we do have Tiger, save your takes for someone else. I think he's just fine. He just needs to get kind of loosened up and ready, and it's not a problem. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk a lot about Nets Bucks. We'll see what Giannis looks like in his first game back, and Joe Prunty really having a few days with this team. Also, probably mention a little bit about the Badgers. I have had a Greg Gard take that I've squatted on, and I think it's time to unleash that. And so we'll talk about that tomorrow. And who knows, if the Brewers make another deal, maybe that subsets it all and just throws the podcast for a loop. So we'll talk tomorrow, guys. Take care. Have a good one. Peace.